You're listening to STP Radio.
Welcome back to STP Radio. I am your host, Mike Lyles, and I'm so excited to conduct another interview with one of our upcoming speakers at our Spring 2017 STPCon conference. In case you've not signed up yet, STPCon will be in Phoenix, Arizona from March the 14th through the 17th this year. And if you reach out to me, I can share a discount code for your registration. Be sure to check out stpcon.com where you can learn more about the conference, the speakers, our special events, and our conference pricing. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Look for @SoftwareTestPro on both of these social networks. So let's meet our guests for today. Today we have Hans Buwalda. Welcome to the STP Radio Show today, Hans.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to tell everyone a little bit about you. Hans is an internationally recognized expert in test development and testing technology management and a pioneer of keyword-driven test automation. He was the first to present this approach, which is now widely used throughout the testing industry. Originally from the Netherlands, Hans lives and works in California as the CTO of Logicgear Corporation, directing the development of what has become the successful action-based testing methodology for test automation and its supporting test architect tool set. He is the co-author of Integrated Test Design and Automation and a frequent speaker at international conferences. It is so great to have you with us, Hans. Can you tell us a little more about you and how you got into testing?
Well, I'm Dutch. I'm from the Netherlands. I actually have been in software since my high school years. It immediately grabbed my attention, and I realized very quickly that's the thing I wanted to do. Initially, I started studying mathematics. I still have a bachelor degree in that. But since I didn't want to become a teacher in a high school, I went the direction of software, which in essence is very close to mathematics. And I have worked for about 10 years as a management consultant, a very generic management consultant, some of the projects having nothing to do with computers and software. But then I accidentally came back into testing. It was not my career planning, because I ran into a problem that a major customer, the Amsterdam Stock Exchange, had with their testing. And the result of that exercise, trying to get them out of these problems, is what you now know as the keywords method, or at least my flavor of it. And yeah, since 2001, I live here in sunny, right now actually rainy, California. So I almost feel home in Holland already. And yeah, I've been in since that project at the Amsterdam Stock Exchange was in 94, and I've been in testing ever since.
That is a long time, and what I've said to a lot of people that I've interviewed, it takes a very passionate person to be in testing, I believe, and to be able to stay with testing for a long time. I think what I've seen in the past is there are many people that are in development or in other careers, and I was a developer when I started out, but I found that you could have somebody that might be in development that just may or may not wanted to be in development. But in testing, when somebody's in testing, there's a passion there. You have to want to be in testing if you really, truly are doing the craft. And I think what I've seen with most of the folks that I've interviewed and talking with you through the years, I think you've got that same passion for testing and trying to improve the quality of products.
Yeah, definitely. And what I like about testing, and then in particularly automated testing, I think that's my strong suit, is that it is, I wouldn't say an unexplored territory, but it is not like an overly explored territory. Well, if you are in development, you can be a good developer, but the chance that you are actually able to add to that profession, it's very small. Just about everything you can think of has been done already. In testing, that's different. Even after all these years, I would still say we're in very much a pioneering stage, and that makes it attractive. And now with the new wave of DevOps and Agile and open source and cloud, it kind of, everything is logical, everything makes sense, everything fits into each other, except the testing. The testing is the one thing that we still need to hash out, how to best fit that into Agile, how to best fit that into DevOps. And there are bits and pieces that are going very well, but in my view, the overall picture is not there yet, which makes it tremendously interesting.
Yeah, I think you stated something right there that I've not heard anybody say in maybe ever, but that we're in the very early stages. We're the pioneering stages, you know, and things are changing so fast with technology and with the way that things are being done in IT. I think the testing is always keeping up and trying to make new advances. And I think it's a great time to be in the testing profession because there are, like you said, so many opportunities to integrate with DevOps and Agile and to integrate testing practices with those things that folks are trying to place in their organization. So I agree with you completely.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You could actually introduce a new term, re-pioneering. And we have been pioneering all the time, but now with the new way of working, with the new processes, we kind of have to reinvent it again. It's nice because I'm still around, so I can still participate in it. And I see it in my own method, which you might know as action-based testing. I see it a lot. About 5 years or so ago, I really realized that my original story was very much a legacy waterfall story. And I had to kind of reinvent the method for Agile. And that's basically what you're going to hear in my workshop. And the result of that journey.
So I think you were reading my mind. The next question I had for you was that the first time that I ever met you, you had just written an article on action-based testing. It was the front page of the magazine I was reading. And when I met you, I felt like it was almost around the same week or the same month that you had published it. And I felt like I was meeting someone famous. I'm like, hey, you know, here's I just read this article, and here's Hans Buwalda standing in front of me at a conference. And I would love for you to share, you know, what are some of the concepts around action-based testing and what you have put in place that you feel has been real successful and how others have used it?
I think the key element is to focus on the test design. If you look at any other method for automation, it is often very technical. You can see that in your own program of the conference. Most of the topics about automation are really about how do I use something like Selenium. And that is not what is kind of the bottleneck in most of the automated testing projects. It is how the tests are organized and how the tests are designed that make or break the project. And if you have a not so well structured test, that test design, then even for the best engineer in the world, it will be very difficult to make efficient automation. While if you have more like a technical problem, and you cannot click a certain button or something, that can almost always be solved. And once it's solved, it's not a problem anymore. So to be successful in automated testing, to be successful in automation, you need to focus on the test design, not so much on the technology. And that's a fairly unusual point of view, and action-based testing carries that forward along a couple of dimensions. The most important is the modularization, so you organize your tests in modules, and then each module can contain numerous test cases, and the keywords, and that is keywords not so much as the magic wand for everything, but more meant to be in like an easy language to work with, that everybody can understand, and that can be used very well to design tests and then to automate them.
I'm excited for you and for the folks that are going to be part of your workshop. Your workshop is called What Makes Automated Testing Successful? And, you know, it's true. Almost all organizations, they're either struggling to get into automation, they want to, but they don't know how to start, or they're struggling to keep it growing. I think getting automation in place is one thing. A lot of people have been successful at getting it stood up, getting the framework in place, but maintaining it is another. You know, I've seen so many organizations that say, we've got thousands of scripts, they're all ready and we can run them anytime. But the problem is that the code base is changing so much, and there's so many different things going on that we've forgotten to keep them updated. So now they're not worthy to us, and they're not maintained in a way that can give us success in the organization. Your takeaways in this workshop would be very enticing to the attendee, especially someone that is interested in automation. Like you said, you speak to how test design is very important. That's where the focus should be. But I really like that one that you said is about being able to talk about how to involve developers in your program, and how getting a developer involvement with the testing team and with the automation team is really critical to success. So can you tell us a little more about the workshop and what you're going to do there and what you wish to share with the audience?
Most of it will actually be that role of test design. That will be a dominant point in my workshop, and especially also how to do that. And I will present like a template example that you can follow, that you can take with you and follow to be very likely to make a good test design. And then hopefully based on that, I will show that with a good test design, the automation actually becomes much less of a problem, either short term or long term, that the automation goes almost by itself. So that is a large part. And then I will touch on a couple of other topics that are related to that. One is, of course, BDD, behavior-driven development. I will show how you can translate BDD scenarios into keywords and vice versa. Another topic that I will touch upon is testability. I noticed there is also a special workshop on that probably goes deeper than I will do, but I will approach it from my perspective, and the test design and the keywords and all that. And I will talk about some other factors like how to organize it all, and how to fit it into things like Agile and DevOps.
So you mentioned BDD. I think some organizations are using it and some organizations are not. Can you elaborate on how that is effectively helping an automation team and what they do in that situation? Because I think a lot of folks, you hear a lot of people say, it's not for me, it's not something we want to do. Or you hear them say, I don't know what that is, I don't know how to use it. How does one begin to integrate that into their practice?
Well, it's almost the same answer as for the keywords. And the keywords are a very useful language that everybody can use to communicate about tests. And the same is true for the BDD grammars, scenarios. That is very almost natural language way of expressing tests. So that can be very helpful. However, if you don't do anything about test design and how to structure the test, it doesn't help that much. You can learn English, know all the English words, that does not make you a Shakespeare. You really need to do something with these languages. And again, what I will show in the workshop is actually a tool that will translate BDD scenarios into actions, into the keywords, and vice versa. So you will see that it is a fairly equivalent technique. And it's also interesting, I had a discussion in another conference with Dan Noor, the maker of BDD, about this particular topic, and that maintainability problem that he also experiences with BDD. It's a good start, but long-term maintainability, you need something more than just that language.
Well, I think it is true. I think you have to, just knowing the language or just knowing what it does is one thing, and you're right. You have to be able to do it. When you said Shakespeare, it makes me think of the Monty Python where the guy is talking about the number of words that he has in his play. And then when the guy starts counting the words, he says, you know, the number of words is nothing. It's being able to, you know, get them in the right order is what makes me a great actor. And I do think it's a lot of people speak about the tools and the processes that we use today, but they don't, you know, they really need to know how to integrate them together. And I think that's building that into your organization is really critical.
Yeah, it's also interesting if you agree that test design and test organization is a major driver for automation success, then you immediately have a paradox. because the people that are usually responsible for the test design are not technical. They might be domain experts, professional functional testers, and they're not necessarily scripters, not necessarily engineers. However, the kind of things that you need to do to make the test well automatable is something that the developer can do very well. So you would need developers' skills. So there you see the paradox. The people who are mostly influencing the automation result are the people who know the least about automation. And
that's right.
And in my workshop, I will talk about this paradox and what you can do about it.
Well, we're looking forward to this, and I think the attendees are going to enjoy it, and getting that information from someone with your experience, I think, is going to be priceless. Speaking of experience and being in a lot of places, you've traveled and worked in three continents, many countries, and several industries. And then for those who have never worked with various countries and cultures, that first experience of working with different cultures or different countries, it can be overwhelming and challenging. Can you tell us about your experiences for working in various countries and cultures, and how did you adapt, and what are your suggestions do you suggest for the audience to consider if they're facing this?
Yeah, in my personal case, I would not even call it overwhelming. I would call it a lot of fun. It's really something that I recommend everybody to do. And it's fun to look at the details, because in many aspects, in many places, many countries will go in similar directions. But it is interesting to see details, for example, between the Netherlands and a couple of other countries. And the Netherlands is where I come from. I have lived my whole life in a country where you would always question authority. So, and the key goal in life is to disagree with your boss. I have learned very quickly in other countries that is slightly different. Whether it's the US or whether it is Asia or other parts of Europe, a boss really is a boss. And if you want to question the boss, you do that kind of carefully. And we currently see that in politics. Before you know it, there is a tweet that is not nice to you. And,
it's so right. I mean, I agree with you completely. Did you have any experience where you had to deal with the situation that you had to? I mean, that was difficult and caused by working in different cultures or different countries?
I wouldn't say that. No, it is. But I learned a lot of things. One thing I learned is that there is also such a thing as a professional culture. So, for example, developers, no matter where you go in the world, they always act like developers. They kind of follow a stereotype, most of them. Like testers are very similar wherever you go. And they're more developers really compete with each other about being smart, and they really have a star culture. And in a group of developers, there will be a couple of stars, a couple of people that everybody respects, and that's very strong in the developer. I sometimes joke, I have never met a developer who did not think he was smarter than me. It's also usually a he, but that's another story.
Right.
But then it's same for accountants and for managers and for consultants and for HR people. You see that there is such a thing as a professional culture, which is kind of universal, no matter where you go. And that's fascinating to see. And what we also learned as a company, my case Logicgear, is that there is also such a thing as a company culture. As a company, you can have certain values and certain processes and a certain way of dealing with each other. And the advantage is, that is something as a management you can influence. You can, to a large extent, define what you want your company culture to be. While professional culture, or what I like to call regional culture, is something that is just a given. That is something you can deal with it, but you cannot change it. I could talk about it for hours, but it's a very interesting topic to think about.
Well, and I do think a lot of people have struggled, but I think the one note you said there is the people think they're smarter than you. And I think I would challenge anyone that says that. My experience in knowing you and knowing your background and you're a veteran of IT and testing, and you bring so much experience from traveling different countries, working in different organizations and being the CTO at Logic Gear. I think with that experience and knowing what you know, and we talk about reinventing and re-pioneering the testing craft, what do you, in your opinion, if we look at the future of testing and what we think are the next big things coming, what do you feel are the things that are just on the, you know, horizon and things that are coming down the line for us and that we should be preparing our organizations for?
Well, I think one next big thing is obvious. That is your conference in Phoenix that is coming along. And then in particular, a topic that I looked at the program today again, and particularly in a topic that I like is your expert panel that you're going to do. And you call it Text Revolution or Evolution. And I think that that's something I would recommend people to go to, because talking about these things is very important right now. The thing with the future of IT and the future of software and the future of testing is there is still a lot of stuff we don't know yet where it will go. And a couple of years ago, it didn't look cloud was going anywhere. Now it's cloud all over the place. So that kind of gradual or disruptive developments, I think there are still many to come. A lot of things haven't been figured out yet, specifically also about testing. So that just keep listening and keep learning is right now the thing to do.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned cloud. I think one of the areas I see, and I don't know your experience with service virtualization, but I see a lot of opportunity there. And all the places that I've been, I've seen such a weakness in that area where we could really, especially in where you have services or environments that are not ready at this point, that you don't really need to test, but you need them there to be able to do the test. Service virtualization really fills that gap. And I don't always see a ton of organizations monopolizing on that so that they can, you know, fill the blanks and get their testing started earlier. Have you had that experience or seen folks trying to use that?
Well, I see a lot of interest right now in service testing. So to either put that service in a container or otherwise in the cloud, mm-hmm. and then you focus your test on what the servers can do. But I'd also see, so that is going away from the UI testing a little bit. It becomes more service-oriented. For the method of testing and test design and test organization, it doesn't make much difference because it's purely a technical thing. But for your test design, it definitely has an impact. And it helps enormously in the testability. Also something that there are talks that talk about that. Mm-hmm. And I also see kind of a counter move that goes to the UI again. You probably heard of SPAs, single page applications. Mm-hmm. And that is an example of a trend toward a much richer experience for users, for the web applications, and also, of course, for the mobile. And there that means it becomes complicated again, because that rich environment will talk to servers or services. It does not have to be servers. But that amount of talking to will increase exponentially. And guess what? That is where testing comes in, to make sure that all of that combined still works.
Yes.
So I see tremendous opportunities there.
I agree. And you'd mentioned, and thank you so much for the mention of getting out to STPCon in Phoenix. I think, and you also stated there are panel of experts that we're having, because I think the one of the things we did about a year ago is we started a panel, an expert panel. We did that for one of our keynotes, and I had three folks on the panel for that. And then in September in Dallas, we did the same thing. And so I've been wanting to bring that back every STPCon so that we could bring in three people that have got experience in various organizations. We've got Eric Pregler on this. He's a performance guru, and Amber Race. She works with APIs, and she's the Postman expert and has ton of experience in automated tools and testing. And then Henrik Andersen is there with us from the House of Test as someone who has that context-driven background and exploratory testing experience and a lot of testing experience there as well. So the three of them, I think, are going to really bring a great and we're going to interview them soon on this program because we want to get experiences and have folks from the audience. So anyone listening, please be thinking about questions that you might want to ask. We're going to give people an opportunity to ask questions to them and see them answering on their feet, you know, and getting back a response to the crowd of people that are there and saying what do you really want to hear from the experts. So I think we found it to be very successful, and you're exactly right. It's a very entertaining and an awesome way to have a keynote for our general session. So, Hans, I have one final question for you. I know you've attended STPCon several times, and I wanted to ask, what is the one thing or a couple of things you would like to tell new visitors to the conference or someone who, you know, they may not have been for a while, but what they should expect and what they should look for at STPCon?
I think it is, of course, the speakers and the topics that they will speak about. I think it's very up to date with what is happening in the industry. The other thing is talk with each other. The reason to go for a conference is not necessarily just to listen to speakers, but it is also to discuss with each other about experiences and about ideas. And then especially when you're in similar situations, you can learn a lot from each other. That's a message I would give to people.
Well, that's great advice. And Hans, thank you for your time today. We really enjoyed having you on the STP Radio Show today. And we look forward to seeing you in Phoenix in March.
Okay. Likewise, see you in Phoenix.
Well, everyone, this concludes our next episode of STP Radio. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes coming soon. And if you haven't signed up for the conference, what are you waiting for? Get out there and register. And we'll see you in Phoenix in March.
Thanks for listening to this episode of STP Radio, and stay tuned for more episodes. Learn more about the conference being held in Phoenix, Arizona, March 14th through 17th by visiting stpcon.com.